The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host is Otto Lose. And what a segment we had. Honestly, I compliment Christina week after week because we don't just pick a topic. She winds up getting one of the most wonderful people to present that topic. And that's so important. You know, the interaction that Otto and I have with everybody who's been coming on the show is just tremendous. Otto, you agree?
I definitely agree. And that topic, as I said, was one that I have to tell you I was not an expert on. I'm still not, but I have a lot more of an understanding about the topic and an understanding of what people go through who have it and what can be done to help them make it less difficult than it is. It's a difficult problem, there's no question. And you can't poo-poo that. That's the facts. But what can you do to help make that a little bit better? I think is the key ingredient.
You're certainly right. It's a topic that I know comes up a lot with our Project Independence social workers and nurses. There's a lot of that, and there's, you know, definitely a huge fear around it. But I think Dr. Deep really, you know, gave us tons of great information. And I think it was jam-packed, the segment, with a lot of golden nuggets, you know, whether it's things to prevent it or if you do have it, you know, how to kind of, you know, we were all sitting there, you know, I think everybody that's listening and watching wrote down orange peppers, you know, to really, and kale, you know, even though we know that our director over there, Dan, is not, you know, too fond of kale. I'll make sure to note that on any, future celebrations we have. But it was a great segment. I think you guys did a wonderful job. And I have to give a lot of credit to Dr. Deep. We've had him on the show. I think he was on the show a couple of years back. And he's certainly always a wonderful guest. And I'm always impressed, you know, when a doctor is able to talk about these, you know,
good open dialogue, also discussing the fact that it costs a lot of money to treat.
You know, guys, I'm going to interrupt because we have Laura here.
Yes.
Right.
And I just want to say hello to our county executive, Laura Curran. How are you, dear?
Hello, John Ryan. It's great to see you. I'm fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Very good. Good. Keeping busy, trying to anyway. And yeah. I know you are. Great state of the county. Unbelievable.
Thank you. You're doing great.
You know.
Can I ask Laura a quick question that has nothing to do with anything? My wife asked me to ask, does your husband have a brother named Thomas?
No, he's got two sisters and no brothers.
Okay, then it's not the same one. Because she worked for the legal counsel at St. John's, and there was one of the students was a John Curran who was there. But he had a brother, Thomas, and
that's funny because my husband went to St. John's.
Yeah, that's why she asked me to ask, because she worked for the legal counsel, my wife did, and these two particular boys, they were boys back then, she really liked them, and they were, one was quite cut up, and the other one was quite serious.
So that's so funny. No, that's different Curran clan.
John is being cut up, Laura.
John, depending on the day, he could be either.
I love it.
Well, anyhow, that had nothing to do with COVID. So
I like it. It's important, though, an equally important topic there, Otto.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's going on in the town, the county, excuse me?
Well, we're doing really well with our immunization. We have 33% of our population has had at least one dose. So we're still leading the state in terms of our percentage. So that's good news. And I had my first dose. Dr. Larry administered it yesterday at the college, at our distribution site at the college. So I was wondering if I would have a reaction today, but I feel fit as a fiddle. So I'm really excited. You know, I fit in two categories now. I'm a front-facing government worker, number one, that was last week. And then this week, folks, hate to admit this, but folks over 50 are now eligible. So I'm eligible two times over now. So I figured this is the good time to get it.
Good for you. And I know I wasn't here last week, but I did listen after the fact that you actually were in quarantine twice.
I was. Now, I have never tested positive. I'm knocking on wood as I say that, thank goodness. But I've had to quarantine twice because twice I was the close contact of a positive. So having to, you know, work from home like everyone else with the Zoom and the phone calls. And sometimes I'd meet reporters, you know, always over Zoom.
Right.
But it kind of gave me an insight into what so many of our residents have had to live through. I mean, it's not easy being home for long periods of time. And, you know, I think the way that our residents have adjusted to this is really, really quite remarkable.
But the most important, you can come next slide, the most important thing that I want to stress is Laura practices what she preaches. So she wasn't out there telling everybody to quarantine and stay safe and do this and do that. She's doing her job as a trooper. She's out there doing the best she can, any place she can with a mask and everything else. And then when she was twice exposed, did what she wants people to do. She went into quarantine and was saving everybody else. And I thank you so much from everybody. That was wonderful. And I know it's hard for you because you're so damn busy.
Well, thank you for that, John. I did get a chance to clean out the closets. I got a lot of stuff ready for the thrift shop. So the dogs got more walks than they usually get. So it wasn't all bad.
There was an announcement today or this morning, last night, whatever, that nursing home visits are now allowed. Do you have any information on an overview of what the parameters are for that?
Yeah, this is such great news, Otto. This I can't tell you how many people I spoke to who were just so sad that they couldn't visit their parents, their grandparents in nursing homes, and they missed them and they were alone. So this is good news. The state is now allowing this, and all of our nursing homes are now getting ready to facilitate these visits, to allow these visits and putting in the guidelines. Obviously, we want to keep our, you know, we know that seniors, especially frail seniors, are the most vulnerable to COVID-19. So we've got to protect them. But I have to say, with our infection rate low, with most people in nursing homes now vaccinated, there was really no excuse to not allow visits anymore. People need, for their mental health, to be with their loved ones, to connect with their loved ones. There's so many, and just for overall, like physical health as well, it has benefits to, you know, the endorphin rush of seeing people that you love and giving them a hug, that cannot be underestimated. So I'm very happy about this. And I know that the nursing homes are working hard to make sure that they can do this safely.
So the ground rules, though, it can be inside. It doesn't have to be outside. And
there has to be a certain percentage in the community that the infection rate can't be high, and that 70% of the people inside the nursing home have to be vaccinated.
Okay. Because I've gone, like a lot of people, where we were able to visit my sister-in-law from my first wife is in a nursing home. Nobody's been able to go there since last March. And we visited through a window many times. You know, we stand outside in the snow and she was inside, but really had no idea what was going on.
And it's not the same, is it, through the window? It's sad.
And she has a little hearing problem, so FaceTime or whatever else you might use didn't work too good. So it's difficult. But anyhow, it's good news for a lot of people, as you pointed out.
Yeah, and soon enough, you'll be able to visit in person.
Yes.
It's huge news. And we've talked about this on the show, Laura. You know, from my business, I'm a financial advisor. You don't know, unfortunately, my business has picked up during COVID. Because a lot of people refer widows to me because I'm nice with ladies. And how many of these women didn't see their husband for 2, 3, and 4 weeks and then got a phone call, he's dead, brought him to the emergency room, ambulance picked him up or something. They never saw him again. They didn't wind up knowing how to FaceTime any of this stuff. And then they got the call, your husband passed away. It makes me sick. Not that you're going to do anything, but to hold somebody's hand and say, I love you, versus just sitting in a room by yourself and the poor women, being in good health, wanting to do something for their husband.
Mm-hmm.
And just waiting for the phone call to come. It was heartbreaking.
So sad. I know. The loss is hard enough, but then when you can't be there with them to comfort them and see them through, it's really hard. You know, I got to say, our healthcare workers really took the place of so many family members. They were there holding the hand. You know, that's something that they're going to carry with them for the rest of their lives, too.
Absolutely. I agree with you. We've had hospice people on here, and that they became surrogate family, which was such a wonderful gift to be given when you think about it, to help somebody die and give them a little bit of peace while they were doing it, not even being a family member, just being a caring. But, and vaccinations, other than, you know, we don't have new spots popping up yet, right? No.
We, on Tuesday, we're working with a vendor called Mobile Health to do vaccinations. So we're using our vaccines so that they can distribute, they can administer them at the Coliseum. So that opened up. We did a soft launch on Tuesday, and we can do, if need be, up to 1,000 a day there. So I think we're doing about 350, 400 a day as of now. And I have to thank the operators of the Coliseum and the Islanders because, you know, there are games there now with fans. So we're working with them. There's a lot of moving parts, but it's done very safely. They're very separate, doing it down in the exhibition hall. So that's going well. So the county is currently running four. You know, we ourselves are running three, but we're using our doses for this fourth site. So county doses that we get from the federal government, we're getting them, you know, turning them around and getting them into arms. And then we're seeing more, you know, you're hearing about this. There's more coming from the federal government, more to the state, more down to us through hospitals, through pharmacies. So while there was a real frustration and anxiety to get the vaccinations at the beginning, we're finding that that's easing up a little bit. And we announced, I think it was last week, a senior hotline. A lot of our seniors have a hard time, you know, sitting there. Maybe they don't have a computer or they're not as savvy with it. They don't want to sit there refreshing the browser. So we have a dedicated hotline. I can give you the number. It's 516-227-9590. And it will direct you to one of our folks in a department of, in our Department of Social Services to help you make an appointment. If you're a senior or if you're the loved one of a senior, because we know that it's been particularly difficult. And we've been hearing a lot about homebound and the difficulty for getting the folks who are homebound to get vaccinated. So we had a big call last week with our hospitals. We wanted to see how they were doing it. And we're hoping to partner with some of them, whether they have a visiting nurse service or how are they getting to their homebound folks. I think it makes sense, you know, so we're hoping to give some of our vaccine that we're getting to them so that they can do it. Now, I think it makes a lot of sense to get more Johnson & Johnson before we do that. We've gotten one shipment of Johnson & Johnson to the county, to our county run sites. That was, I guess, maybe 2 weeks ago. It was 1,000 doses, but the rest we've gotten Moderna. So the homebound, I think it makes a lot of sense for the Johnson & Johnson because it's one shot. You don't have to come back. So that's something that we're very focused on. Get a lot of questions about that. And I'm hoping that we do get more Johnson & Johnson so we can turn those around.
How does that work as far as the allocations of shots goes? Like it starts at the federal level, it filters down to the state level, and then it goes to the county level. Who do you have to get your allocations from? Like who tells you Nassau County can have whatever?
You explained that exactly right, Otto. It's the federal government, and then they allocate it to the state, and there's more coming, and there's more coming this week. And then the state then gives it to the locality. So the local departments of health around the county, they also give it to hospitals. And sometimes it's the federal government, sometimes it's the state government that gives it directly to the pharmacies that are coming online. So that's sort of the chain of how it happens. Now, while we are getting more doses down here, we may not necessarily be getting more doses to our Department of Health sites because there are, now we have more state-run facilities here on Long Island. So we've had Stony Brook and Jones Beach pretty much from the beginning, but now we have SUNY Old Westbury that's come online. That's state-run. And out in Suffolk, we've got a couple out there as well. So there's more coming, not necessarily more to the County Department of Health, but more overall. And on our website, we have links to all of the places where you can get a vaccine in Nassau County. So we want to make it as much of a one-stop shop as possible. So, you know, and like always, when the appointments become available, we put them up there. But we are finding there's a slight slowing down of the volume of people looking to make appointments, because we're slowly getting to the point where supply is meeting demand. We're definitely not there yet, but we're getting there. We're getting closer. And then the biggest challenge after that will be talking to people who are really skeptical about the vaccine, who don't trust it. So we're doing all kinds of Facebook Lives and town halls with doctors from every community to dispel the misinformation, to give people the facts so that they can make an informed decision. Now, I'm not the kind of person who's going to say, oh, if you don't get a vaccine, you're stupid and you're brainwashed and what are you doing? Absolutely not. Give people the information and then trust them to make the right decision for themselves.
When you mentioned the one number, like if, let's say you Walgreens now gives shots and CVS, do people have to deal with them directly to try to get an appointment, or does that filter through one main number? My point being, should I, as one who needs a vaccine, be also trying to get to Walgreens, trying to get to CVS, or is that all under one umbrella?
Oh, that's such a good question. So I believe that the pharmacies have their own ways to make appointments, whether it's a phone number or a website. But if that gets too confusing and you don't know who to call, you can just go to our website, nassaucountyny.gov/vaccine, and we have it all there. It's just all listed there. If you don't feel like making a call to CVS, then making a call to Walgreens, you know, we just try to keep it in one place.
Perfect. Laura, I want to thank you for coming on like this. And we hope to have you every week with these updates, because you, I know we're driving you crazy, as everybody in the county is, but we love you. You're doing a phenomenal, phenomenal job. And all we can do is thank you. Okay. So have a wonderful weekend.
Right. Well, I love you. Laura. I love you too. And if you be careful, because if you invite me, I will come.
I'm going to be here. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Now we're going to
have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Talk Radio. Take care, Laura. We've just been listening to County Executive Laura Curran. We're taking a break. You're listening to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.